Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm joined with Elisa, and we're going to talk. We're revising our Daybach podcast. Not all of our original members can join us, but I'm Melanie. This is Elisa, and we're part of the original Gang of Four. both of us have really gotten into watching BL. So today we're going to talk about Be My Favorite, a 2023 GMM TV Thai production, BL meaning boy love. Amazing production. I really enjoyed it. And Elisa was the one who watched it first and then told me, like, you were like, you have to watch it. You have to.
Yeah, totally. It was one of those like unexpected gems. I had zero expectations for this drama going in for a lot of different reasons, and it blew me away. I just could not believe how good it was, and I fell in love. So I'm really glad that we're getting to do this.
I know. I think, you know, we have talked about some other boy loves before, but honestly, nobody does it better than the Thai industry. I mean, it's just kind of their brand in a way. And so many of the dramas are available for free for international viewers on YouTube, as this one is. So Be My Favorite is available on the GMM TV YouTube site for international viewers. I don't even know what streaming services or whatever that they use in Asia that people watch them on, but
it's Viu.
So talk about the cast a little bit, Elisa, because I thought. I wasn't familiar with them, and then you reminded me where I had seen one before.
Yes. Okay. So actually, before I get into the cast, I wanted to talk a little bit about the background of the drama itself, because actually it's kind of interesting. It's produced by Parvati, which is the production house that also did F4 Thailand and The Gifted and Enigma. And they're just kind of known for the quality of their productions. But this is their first BL, which is basically a male-male romance. And
that's really interesting that this production house's first BL. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the person who directed it and wrote it, whose name I cannot pronounce, I apologize, sir, who's a wonderful writer, worked on, you know, The Gifted, and he also worked on a film with Nucci, who's the woman who directed and wrote Not Me, which was another very well regarded BL.
Yeah,
so
I'm gonna make an attempt. It's Wasitap Ketpech, I think. Okay, also known, yeah, I think, as Wa. Right. Yeah. Kudos to you.
Yeah, really, kudos to you. So he already had the credentials going in. He had the backing of a production house that's known for their quality. But the route that this drama took was very weird, because it was announced, I think, in 2022, starring Christ, who is still part of the production, and someone named Mike, who unfortunately his contract with GMMTV got terminated. He's no longer with GMMTV. And Mel, you might remember him because he was in Together, and he played the guy pursuing Tyne's brother.
Okay.
No, pursuing Tyne's brother.
Yes.
So Mike had been someone who was sort of like always second lead in a bunch of these shows, very good actor, but just never really took off. And then they announced this project, and it was automatically kind of greeted with a lot of skepticism, because Christ has an interesting background as well. Christ became famous when he starred in SOTUS with Singto. And SOTUS was the very first BL that GMMTV ever produced that blew up. And yeah, it went kaboom.
What year was that? It was like
seven years ago. So whatever year that is.
It was like 2017. Okay, so that is amazing right there that you're saying that was the first GMMTV boy love. It was only 7 years ago. And now it is like their brand, like everything that they're known for.
Right.
That tons and tons and tons of BL. Now we're getting girl love, like we're getting everything.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Like it feels like this is like at least a 15-year-old industry, but no.
No, it's fairly recent. And also it was a complete surprise. Like it isn't like GMMTV masterminded this. It just, they kind of caught lightning in a bottle. This show blew up. They had the first super couple, which was Kristen Sinto, and they were the first that got promoted as a couple, and all of these tropes came out of the BL tropes, like the engineering school romance, things like that, all came out of SOTUS. Anyway, so Chris has been here since like the beginning of time, but he's had a little bit of controversy in his career. I don't want to get into the details because I read about it and it gave me a headache, and I don't, you know, want to get into the details, but he's had, so he had not done another BL with another partner since he did SOTUS and then the SOTUS spinoffs years ago, but he's right. Very active and straight Lahorn, so you know, which is what they call soap operas, basically dramas in Thailand. So Chris ended up, when they announced this was like his BL comeback, only it wasn't with his original partner, who was one of the iconic ships, like they literally call them the pillars of BL, which is hilarious, the pillars. Anyway, so people were like,
there's an image.
Yeah. So then people are like, you're going to be in a BL with Mike and not Sinto. And, you know, and it was kind of like very mixed reaction to the announcement. And then nothing much happened. And then suddenly it was announced that Mike was out of the project and they brought in Gowan. And Gowan's an interesting guy because he is, I would say, well, he's actually acts a lot, but I would think of him more as a singer than an actor. Like he does all of these OSTs, including did an OST for F4 Thailand and Astrophile.
The main one is Counting Stars from Astrophile, which literally right. I've had on repeat. So, I mean, in my heart, like just over and over and over listening to that song. It's so amazing.
Yeah. But, yeah, he has a gorgeous voice.
Yes, he does.
But anyway, I want you to talk about your.
So I was like, both of the leads in this couple are new to me, and Lisa goes, oh no, oh no, his name is both Fluke going. You've seen him before, remember the cop and not me, and I went. Like, I mean, he was basically like just this rock, just this, like, he hardly had any emotion compared to all the other really big emotions that were in that drama. He was just kind of there. He was the, like, the weakest link, okay, of the entire drama.
Yeah, he was.
And I was like, what? That is the same guy?
Right. Because
I never in a million years would have guessed that that was the same guy. So I think for him, he had only had mostly supporting roles, so this
second leads.
So if he's had a main role, it was not in the main couple, he was like the third part of the triangle, whatever. And right. So this is his first drama where he is he is in the main couple.
Right. And so the reaction when he joined the project was, we cannot see Chris and Gowan as a couple. Nobody could imagine it. Nobody could put their brains around it, right? It just didn't seem to match, including me. And the funny thing is I was like, what? I don't know, you know? And then I was like, well, but it's Parvati and we know they do good stuff, but I don't know. It's their first BL and it's these guys and this doesn't really make, and you know, whatever. So I didn't watch it when it was airing. Even though I had seen.
Yeah, I didn't even have awareness that it was on, but yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was on because people had asked me if I planned to watch, and I was kind of like, whatever. But then somebody on the Discord that we're part of said, no, it's really wonderful. You should check it out. And I said, okay, sure. And at that point, I had seen Chris for the first time in The Jungle, which I can't really recommend The Jungle because it's like a really dumb drama, but I had a really good time watching it. And it's not a BL, but he's in it. He's part of an ensemble cast and he's really funny and good in it. And so I was like, okay, well, I like Chris, so I'll go and check it out. And I didn't know, I had zero knowledge. I was completely unspoiled. I didn't know what the drama was about. So just for like brief background for people who don't know, Be My Favorite is a time travel rom-com romance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, partially set in a college setting. I mean, there's chemistry right from the beginning. And also there's a magical device. It's sort of a music box. And if you turn it, you either go back in time or forward in time to present day. And I love me a good time travel romance. Okay.
And right,
this one really had interesting rules to the time travel. Because sometimes there can be a time travel where someone is pushed forward in the future and they're out of time and they're stuck. Or they're put back in time and again, they're fish out of water and they're stuck. And here, right. This is more of the kind where someone keeps going back and forth and sort of like the butterfly effect, they change one thing about themselves or the environment or whatever, and then they go back to the future to see, did I fix it, right? I guess it is sort of like the Back to the Future, like, you know, you're going back and forth and you're seeing, if I change this one thing, how is that going to affect my future? And I just eat that up at the spoon. Like, I love that whole setup. I love that Chris as Cowie, we see him in the future. He's 30. He's doing subtitles. Crack me up because I rewatched the first episode last night. And he's doing subtitles for a wind scene in F4 Thailand.
Yep. It was funny.
So he has no friends. He is, he has just been a mouse. He's just been, an introvert. He's never put himself out there. And so he's just kind of sitting there and he's been invited to Pear and Pasang's wedding. And he's just like, oh God,
Right.
And so this music box, when he goes back and he thinks it's a dream. So he just acts in a way that he would never normally have acted at that time. You know, I guess it's back to 2015. So, whatever that is, 8 years back. And he's just completely free because he thinks, well, this is just a dream. There's nothing, But then as he goes back and forth, different things happen. And he realizes he's like, how could Pear marry this guy? Like Pear is played by an actress named Aye, if I'm doing that right, A-Y-E. She was great. So she's the third part of our triangle here. And he's like, he's had this crush on her. How can I make it that I'm the one in the wedding? It's me. This is what he's dreaming. It's me. How can I be the one in this wedding and not this guy that I hate?
Right.
I just ate the premise. I ate it with a spoon. I loved the premise so much.
See, and I am not necessarily in love with that kind of thing because in my experience with time travel, it gets too tricky and it gets really convoluted with the skips and the loops and trying to figure out what's going on. And like the prime example of that would be A Time Called You, which I didn't like very much. Mm. The K-drama A Time Called You. And I think but the way it's done here is great. And there's two reasons for it, in my opinion. One is that the premise is very simple. When he's in the future and he twists the ball, it takes him back to the set point of where he last twisted it in the past. And so you kind of have like a very clear, like where he's going to go back. And so there's not a lot of trickiness around it. You're not like busting your brain trying to figure out how the time loop is affecting things. It's pretty straightforward. Right. And I think the other thing is that the time loop is a device that is used to build character. And I think that, as with each time skip, Gui in particular, but really all the characters change and grow a lot as a direct result of these time skips. So the device is used very well. Like it was used very thoughtfully, which you don't always see.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah. One example is in the beginning, present day, the beginning of the drama, he never drinks, right? So he's never tried drinking. He's never tried like getting himself drunk and dancing. So at certain points when he goes back, he tries that and he's much more free and he gains new friends and he, it's good. And then another time skip, he realizes that he goes too far with that. And that his drinking has become, he becomes a pop star at one point in the future.
Oh, but we should... Did yeah. we didn't make our little disclaimer about oh. spoilers.
Tons of spoilers so ahead.
We got to make sure people understand we spoil the hell out of the dramas that we talk yeah. about. So if you have not seen this, stop now. Go watch it. It's go amazing. Watch. And then come back and hear what we have to say about it.
I can't recommend it enough, especially if you enjoy Thai BLs. I think this is it's a gem. So anyway, all right. So one of the skips to the future, you realize he's an alcoholic and that's ruined his relationships with his friends, with Bear at that point had been his girlfriend. Like it's ruined everything. So, I thought it was really interesting. As you said, each time we're going back and forth, it's showing if I change this about myself, what effect will that have in the future? If I change this about this relationship, what effect will that have? And I really liked it's not like, oh, it's apocalyptic, we're saving the world, Terminator or whatever, right? This is time skips that are all about character and how these characters grow.
And I think also, let's talk about Gui as a character, because, and this is kind of like Chris's specialty is playing assholes who evolve into better people.
Yeah, he's just such
that's his wheelhouse. That's his, and he's good. I'm a fan. I really enjoy him. I think he's really good at it.
He just gives these looks like. I'm just look at him just staring, and I'm done.
Yes, yes.
I hate you. I'm going to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
And also he doesn't really, it's interesting. He's reached the age of 30 and yet he doesn't really know himself. Right.
He's even a virgin at age 30. And so
definitely.
Yeah. So like at the start of the drama, and a lot of people had trouble. If you read comments online, they never got past the fact that he's a jerk ass at the start of the drama. Because he is. He's whiny. He's self-pitying. He's pathetic. He blames everyone else for his problems. When we open, he's seething with resentment for Pisang because he thinks Pisang has everything. He's gorgeous. He's rich. He's marrying the girl he had a crush on. Your life is amazing. My life sucks. You bastard. You stole my life from me, basically.
You're the king of the campus, right?
Right, And then, of course, as the drama goes along, first of all, Gui starts to learn more about the people around him and starts to gain an understanding that, well, actually not everybody's life is so amazing, not even Pisang. And, and starts to realize that he has to take more responsibility for himself, that his behavior actually has real impact on other people. And with every loop, he starts to have like more awareness and consciousness of like, no, I actually have to do the right thing. If I don't do the right thing, it's just not my life that's going to get ruined. It's everybody's lives are going to get ruined.
Right. I mean, when he sees the girl that he had a crush on, he's like, okay, fine. She can't be with me. But then when he realizes which character she does end up with, he's like, no, I can't. She cannot do that. We have to solve this. Even though he's like a famous pop star and whatever, he's like, I have to go back and I have to make sure that this outcome doesn't happen again.
Well, that's even like really far down the road, but I think where it really takes off, because it's actually, the way it unfolds is so unexpected, because they don't really have a meet cute. Mm-hmm. And they don't, because the way they already know each other, but the first time he goes back, it's in a very antagonistic way because he's angry at Pisang because Gui, for plot reasons, didn't show up to a gift exchange to give a gift to Pear, who's the girl he has a crush on him, and Pisang stepped in.
Right, he's like, I'm your secret buddy. That's he's mad at Pisang that he did that, even though Pisang did it as a, I'm not going to let this girl think that that whoever her secret buddy was didn't bother to show up and doesn't care. So
yeah, and then so he comes in really antagonistic, and they have this crazy drunken night. And then after that, when he goes back to the future, suddenly he's the best man at the wedding. And he's like, whoa, what happened? You know, and that's like the first clue that things are going in directions he doesn't understand. And then, of course, the second time around is when Pi-Seng shows up drunk from the wedding and confesses that he's been in love with him for 10 years.
Right. And, actually, yeah, before the wedding, like, I can't go through with it. And then.
Right. I can't. And kisses him. And the kiss is like in episode 2. And it's funny because, like, that's another thing. We didn't expect a kiss. And the kiss is like a shock for everybody.
I know.
And
like, we're talking about fish eyes. I'm coming like, whoa!
Like, what? What? And then at that point, you know, Gui, it's just very interesting because on some level, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Pi-Seng can't marry Pear because it would be a false marriage. But he also goes into this weird, like the way he handles it is really poorly and he's really mean to Pi-Seng and it just gets really ugly and sideways. And like every iteration that he goes through, he just has to learn how to be a kinder person and to understand like that, you know, like he can actually do a lot of harm. And like seeing the way the flirtation and the relationship between them unfolds is so cute. And guys, if you like, they're thinking, I don't want to see this because there's no chemistry between Kristen and Gowen. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Look at them.
It's so good.
They are so good. Adorable.
Oh my God. No, it's like impressive.
It from the beginning, from the first episode, they have so much chemistry. And, you know, I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's like bad buddy level almost. I mean, which is kind of one of my highest bars for Thai BLs. Yes, they have this antagonistic kind of relationship in the same way in Bad Buddy. There was all of this fighting and whatever until we finally admit our feelings, you know?
Right.
And also similar because we're mostly in a school, in a college school setting. But yeah, it didn't bother me that Gui was kind of obnoxious. I can't actually, because it was so funny. It was so funny.
Very funny.
He's this is a dream, so it doesn't matter. I'm just gonna do all of these things. And rewatching the first episode, it was interesting because lines that come very late are actually said in the first episode because, you know, Gui gets so drunk that Pi-Seng takes him home and makes sure that he gets home okay. And he's trying to fumble with thing, and he's like, what, do you like me or something?
Pi-Seng is
like, yeah, actually, I do like you, and I think you're really cute.
And then it comes back.
And he's like, of course not. I just have to go to the bathroom. Come on. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like all of those things were actually said in the first episode, and I realized when they flee from a fight, they're holding hands. They couldn't let go at any points, but they're holding hands for quite a way of running. And then, you know, they fall down exhausted in the grass, and Pi-Seng immediately lies himself, you know, in Kawi's lap as they're talking.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, it's right there from the beginning, folks.
Well, and let's talk about this a little bit, because one of the things that I absolutely loved about this drama is that unlike a lot of BLs, it feels more grounded because for one thing, Pi-Seng goes through a coming out journey in the story.
Yeah.
A beautifully portrayed coming out journey where it starts out where he's obviously got a crush on Gui, but he's not really dealing with it. And he knows Pear has a crush on him and he's not really dealing with her feelings. And then so, Gui.
I mean, he's like, let me make Gui happy then. He wants to be with Pear. Fine. I will throw them together. I will give him money so that he can go out for a meal with her. He does all of these things to kind of throw them together because he's like, fine, maybe the two of them can be happy, even if I
can't. Right. And the thing is, though, it's almost like it's all subconscious. Like he's not really consciously acknowledging what's going on. But then, like, Gui kind of forces the matter. And I'm trying to remember the order. Because there's this beautiful sequence. Oh my God. It's so well done. Where Pi-Seng sees a male couple kissing each other on the dance floor of the club where he's a DJ. And he's like, looks really uncomfortable and doesn't know where to look. And then he goes to a gay bar and he stands outside the gay bar, but can't bring himself to go inside.
See the rainbow mural on the outside. And he's like, can I step over that threshold? Can I admit this about myself? And then once he can't. And then when he finally does, it's like,
oh, well, then the first time he goes in, he sees Max, and Max says hi to him, you know, just like, hey, bro, you know, and then he runs out of the club.
Right. That's Goey's friend, Max. Yeah.
Right.
He's out from the beginning. So we know that.
He's out from the beginning. Right. And then finally, you know, Goey confronts him and says, you are not being honest about your feelings for Pear. You need to set this right. Something really terrible is going to happen. You need to take care of this. Own your response, you know, own your feelings. And so this is like one of the first really good things Goey does, because he does push Pisang to accept himself and to say to Pear, we're never going to be together. And then she says, do you like somebody? He goes, yes, I do. Which is a kind of the first acknowledgement, you know, to another person, even though he doesn't say who it is.
Right.
And then finally,
But Sang and Pear's families are very wealthy. And so you can see the pressure on Pisang to live up to his family's expectations of what his career would be like, that he would be in the public eye, whatever. Like, he's under so much pressure. If he comes out, what is that going to mean, not just for him personally, but for his family? So he has a different, he has all the trappings of, he has a car, has a nice apartment, all of this, but with all of that come these societal and family pressures that are very different. And it's, you know, Pear would be the most likely pairing, you know, one that he should end up with, you know,
because they're both,
go ahead.
No. And that's why I love that Gowen got cast in this, because had Mike gotten cast in this, it would have been a completely different story, because Gowen gives that big man on campus energy. He's really good looking. He looks like the jock. There's such a cute scene where he's showing off for Glee. It's in the first of it. Yeah, playing basketball and shooting hoops and then like winking at him and smiling. It's so cute.
Sometimes he just has kind of resting sneer face. Like, yeah, I'm the rich guy. You know,
right.
He just kind of has this resting, like, yeah.
Right. He has that total vibe. And so, like, you know, the fact that he has this facade, but on the inside, you know, like, and Pear says, you know, Pisang is very lonely. And she doesn't know why, but she does know that. And so I just thought it was so beautifully portrayed, and it felt very real. And it also felt like something we don't see in BLs. I mean, even BLs that I've said had more of a LGBT sensibility, like Moonlight Chicken or Not Me or even Only Friends, but they didn't have that coming out journey the way they had in this. And I thought it was just, oh my God, it was so well done.
Right, because it's not just, oh, I had a kiss with a guy and the light bulb went off, right? We're seeing this journey of tentative steps of, do I belong in this gay bar? Am I one of these people? Like, look at that strange person over there. Like, we're seeing this journey of acceptance, of identity, of confronting his parents, of having these hard discussions. Yeah, I loved that story, part of the story.
Yeah. It was really well done. And it was interesting to me to contrast with Goey, because Goey, even though he doesn't know right away that he's in love with, it takes a while for him to get there, to be in love with Pisang, but he's never homophobic. Like, he has his best friend is Max, who's openly gay. And he goes, Max takes him to the gay bar to talk. And he's like, is this okay with you? And he's like, yeah, like, whatever, no big deal. So I kind of liked seeing the contrast between them, even though Goey is the one who's later to his feelings.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I did think it was interesting, because the one who actually kind of makes the first move is Goey, is the one that kisses him for the first time. It's very different than like Together, where from the beginning you have this person pressuring a supposedly straight person to have a relationship and to kiss and is constantly flirting. That's not the way it. That's not the way it. And Pisang is as surprised as anyone that kiss happens. Like,
stop. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's an interesting scene too. Guys, it's so good because, like, you know, the struggle that all of these characters go through is a real struggle. And the thing is, it's like, it starts out in college and you think it's a college student romance, but it's so much more mature than that because their problems are real problems. Like, Gui has, his father is sick and dying, and he knows from the future that his father is about to die of a heart attack, and he's desperately trying to get his father the right medical care to try to prevent the death. He's poor, so he can't spend as much time socializing with his classmates because he doesn't have the money. And, you know, it's just like there's like real shit going on apart from even to do with anything with the romance or the sexuality or whatever, you know. And so I really appreciated and seeing how that all played out over a 10-year span.
Right. I love the school drama as much as the next person, but I loved that the scope of this expanded out because, you know, it's a 30-year-old going back to college and saying, okay, well, if I made these different choices, if I put myself out there, I wouldn't end up like that. But we see this arc, we see them, you know, all the way when they, you know, older in life, we get to see, okay, their friend's wedding, you know, they're, you know, an out gay couple that they're, at least amongst their friends. Like, I love that we got beyond high school, we got beyond college, we dealt with real adult issues and showing how friendships change over time and all of that. I just thought the scope of it was really, really great.
Another thing, so let's talk about that kiss because, first of all, it was a great kiss. The skinship was very good, in my opinion, throughout. Like, there's a lot of it. Yeah. And it's nothing raunchy or overt or like, you know, but it feels very natural. Their kisses feel very natural when they touch each other, the way they embrace each other. It just feels like, yes, I buy this couple. Like, if anybody was worried about that, no. It's like they both are very good. And in that scene in particular, you know, I think it's like, the look on Gui's face where he's like, why do you like me? He goes, and the funny thing to me is everything he says is true. He's like, I'm mean, I'm poor, I'm kind of a loser. Like, why do you even like me? And then he's saying, is like, because you're cute. Is that a good enough reason? And then that's when he kisses him. Yeah. And it's just this great swoony kiss. But then he passes out drunk. So that's the end of it. But what happens after that kiss? Because there's a whole chain of events after that kiss that reverberate in a really bad way. Because what happens is, Gui, to my surprise, again, this show just surprises you. Rather than waking up and, oh, I didn't remember what happened, or I'm going to pretend it didn't happen because I can't deal with it, he leaps to his feet and runs out and says, we got to talk about this. We kissed. We got to talk about this. And instead it was Pisang who said no. And I think it was out of fear. He didn't want to deal with it.
I think also he runs out and they're having breakfast with Pisang's mom.
Oh, well, yes.
And he's like,
correct. My mom's here. But even after that, there's two more times where Gui tries to talk to Pisang about it. And when Pisang's in the car and then he tries to talk to him at the hospital rooftop, I guess it is. Yeah. And both times Pisang is like, no, don't think about me. Just think about your father. Think about your life. I'll just be here for you. I'll be your comfort, blah, blah, blah. And that was a mistake. And I'm glad they made Pisang flawed because otherwise Pisang would be too perfect. But in that situation, Pisang failed. He should have talked about it at that point, had they talked about it. Because then the next time skip after that is a catastrophe. It's the worst timeline. Everything is horrible. Like, Gui is a rock star, but he's an alcoholic to the point where his hands are shaking. His relationship with Pear has been a debacle and she leaves him to go marry not of all people. And not that piece of shit. And then, you know.
And his relationship with Max as his manager, But, right. you know, Max has about had it with him too.
Yeah. And also, and Pisang is trying to get away from him. And then, you know, Gui goes because, after him.
Because he's like, I'm going to ruin your career if people find out about it. So he is like isolated himself from all their friends, from everyone. Yeah.
Well, not just that, though, because, like, the thing is, like, it's kind of hard to tell, but, like, I've got the feel, like, there's a scene where Gui says, we have to not be seen together. It would be really bad if we were seen together. And Pisang look, just looks so hurt. But then he goes to the camp room where Pisang is hanging out and starts drunk kissing him. And it was such a, what I loved about this scene is that, you know, he's been drunk kissing him for years. And yet they've never had a real relationship. They're in the closet. They don't come out publicly with what's going on between them. And it's a fucking disaster. And it doesn't just ruin their lives. It ruins the lives of everyone around them. And that's what I thought was so interesting, because it's like, if people can't live an authentic life, it isn't just about the two people. It's about everyone else, because it's just toxic. It's like the toxicity just spreads out.
Right. And, I mean, he sees by not being authentic, he's ruined Pierre's life as well.
Right, right.
You know, and yes, he has that fame and a music career that he always dreamed of, but then he can't live an authentic life because I guess being a Thai pop idol is not too different than being a Korean one. God forbid you should have a homosexual relationship or anything like that. That could ruin his whole career. And how, you know, Max right. depends on him as being his manager and all of that. And so, yeah, it's like he sees, okay, I get all this good, but look what all this toxic things that come with that.
And then when Pisang finally can't take it anymore and leaves and just sends him a postcard and says, I'll just be wishing you well. Just know I'm somewhere in the world wishing you well. And then he sobs. Oh my God, I cried. I was just like, I'm laughing, but it wasn't funny. I was heartbroken. I was just like, there were several times I cried in this drama, and that was one of them. Because I was just like, man, it was just so heartbreaking. And you know, Chris is a good actor. He played that scene so well when he is sobbing over the postcard. And you're just like, oh my God. And then he twists the thing to come back. And when he comes back, it's actually really well done. It's like very heartbreaking because he comes back and finds out his father has died. But his reaction is to throw his arms around Pisang and be like sobbing, I thought I was never going to see you again. Ugh! I was just like, I was completely losing it in that part. There were several parts, and that was one of them. That was to me almost like the emotional heart of the film, of the show, because, you know, Gui kept incrementally trying to do things, and then it wasn't quite right. It wasn't enough. He wasn't going far enough. But that was like the big debacle that said, okay, no. We cannot have that happen. This is like the end of the road. Right. I have to be brave now. I have to do the right thing and set everything straight.
But it's also interesting because at a certain point, Pisang kind of figures it out and he tries the thing and he goes back and it's like one of their big date days where they go to amusement park. And instead he just like, I mean, instead of being fake, I love that he just is like, I'm back here from the future. Like, we need to fix this, right? Like, I love that they, you know, and then it's like, Gui's giving him advice on how that, you know, because he, okay.
He's been through it. Well, let's wait to talk because.
Spoilers ahead again. This is a pandemic drama. Like, in a way that I'm not sure I have seen any other drama really deal with the pandemic. Because at a certain point, they don't talk about COVID, they don't mention COVID, but at a certain point, they're living together, this is in the future, you know, present day future, the way they're living together, they have this solid relationship, and Pisang gets sick, and Gui takes care of him, and he's like, you're going to get sick, he's like, it's fine, and takes care of him. Then Gui gets sick, and it gets super serious. And he's hospitalized, he's intubated. And I was like, my jaw was on the phone. I'm like, they're dealing with this. They're going there. And so that's why Pisang realizes about the the device to go back. He's like, how can I change it so that won't happen, that he won't get sick? Because I can't lose him. I can't lose him. I can't not have him in my life. And I was like,
yeah, no, I know.
It was so hard.
And that's like, we skip some stuff that I want to go back to, but like that is at the end of the drama, and it's like episode 12, the literal last episode of the drama, and like I'm sobbing through this because it just hits so close to home.
I know, it's like, you think, okay, we've got the happy ending, we're just gonna have fluff. No way. They're gonna hit us again. What hit her heartstrings?
So like going back to the point where they came back from the disastrous future. So like they end up in a relationship because Gawi confesses, cutest confession ever, super adorable. And then they have to deal with sex because Gawi's a virgin. And the implication is that Pisang isn't, but we don't exactly know what happened there. But anyway, so Gawi is a virgin. And so he's freaking out about it. And there's a lot of back and forth talking about it. But actually, I kind of appreciated that they talked about it, you know, with Max and his friend talking to him about it and talking about the fears are natural and it's okay. But this is something, if you love him, that you guys are going to share, and, you know, kind of coaching him through it. And then when they do the lovemaking scene, it's not like any other lovemaking scene you have ever seen anywhere. It was fucking amazing. So, okay, excuse my language. So,
I mean, it was kind of on the par to kind of like the tent scene in Not Me, which was so incredible.
Oh my God.
Okay,
yes.
But different. There you have Ofgun, who are a long time, many drama couple, and they have that comfort with each other to be able to do an intense, intimate scene like that. Here you don't have actors who have worked together before. So I think it's even more extraordinary that it was such a beautiful moment and done so tastefully, so well, acted so well by both of them.
It's the bigger context, though, because it isn't just, so when they start making love, there's a side story involving Pear, which I liked very much, which is that she has to like reconcile with her mother because her mother had left the family to become an artist. Mm. And then she has to, you know, kind of come back and forgive her mother for what she did. And so her mother has an art exhibition and they're doing poetry readings. And
I just want to say the actress playing Pear, she was awesome. And I thought she was really great. So sometimes the third leg of a triangle is not so great. And I really felt like she was fantastic. She was new to me. I'd never seen her before as an actress. And I thought she was great.
I've seen her in a lot of stuff. She's great in everything. She's just really, really good.
But I also appreciated that she had her own little story arc.
Correct.
Reconciling with her family.
Right. She wasn't just some cardboard figure there to cause complications for the main couple. She actually had her own interiority. She had her own ambitions and her own, you know, pain and fear and things to deal with. And so, but we get to this scene and she's finally at the gallery with her mom and she says, may I please read a poem? And so she starts to read a poem, and the poem is by what they call a national artist of Thailand. She goes by the pen, or did, she's passed away. Her name is Uchani. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, I'm quite sure. But anyway, it would be like the equivalent of somebody who won the Congressional Medal of Honor or the National Poet Laureate. Mm-hmm. And so Pear starts reading the poem. And as she's reading it, you cut from Pisang and Gui starting to make love for the first time. And then you see Knot and Quan and Max. And you can basically see where everyone has ended up in the story and how most of them have ended up in like basically a better place. Like they've all matured, they've grown, they've changed. And this is kind of like that moment where it really all comes together. And I loved that they tied the lovemaking scene to something bigger that way. And there are people who didn't like it. They thought it was corny. They didn't like the voiceover of the poem. I was bawling. Literally, I started crying because, first of all, the poem is gorgeous. And I appreciate, first of all, like, it's a GMM TV BL, and they threw in like a major literary work into the story. Just tells you the kind of story that's being told. And yeah, and then just the on the filming level, the music they chose, all of it, and the acting. Well, you know, beautifully acted by everybody. So it was just really like not like anything you've ever seen before, ever in a drama, in terms of how they handle that. And yeah, you know, like after that, we get a really nice montage of them living together over 10 years. So we do get the happy feels, you know.
And so many dramas don't know how to do a full arc over 12 episodes, 10 episodes, 16 episodes. There's so many dramas that I've seen that end up just being flashback fluff in the last episode because they don't even know what to do. And like I said, here we had this whole drama of Gui being in the hospital and being close to death and you know, Pisang learning the secret and going back in time and all of that, right? Like it was major drama, you know, that happened at the end. That was so awesome.
And Pisang was like willing to break up with him. And you know, Gui is like, well, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you whether or not to break up with me. I don't want to break up with you. Because I want us to have this life together. And it's interesting. So another thing is like the date that they're on in that scene, they had a previous, like in the past, they had a date at the amusement park that turned out to be a disaster because Gui was being a little bitch and just like being annoying about being afraid of the rides and complaining and whining and so forth. But then they redo the date when Pisang comes back. And Gui knows that Pisang has come back. So he knows something's really bad has happened that has led Pisang to come back. And knowing that Pisang has come back changes his whole attitude about the date. And they redo the date, but this time it's like, no, we're gonna enjoy the date. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna appreciate it. Like the big metaphor was like the first time they do the date, Pisang lowers the sunroof of the car and Gui bitches because he doesn't like the sunroof being down, it's too hot, blah blah blah. But then the second time around he goes, nope, let's feel the air, let's feel the breeze, let's feel the wind. And you know, it's just the metaphor of taking life as it comes, accepting what you can't change, live bravely, live in the moment, appreciate the people around you, embrace love. It's amazing.
I mean, because Gui's already seen that he tried to do everything that he could to change the outcome of his father's death. And while he is able to have some of those conversations that maybe he wished he could have had and those final hugs, he really can't, know how many times he goes to the future, he can't change that outcome. He can't change the fact that his father's going to die earlier than he would want that to happen. So,
right.
You know, but it is so. I love the message of you just need to enjoy those people that you're with in that moment. Yeah, there's just this drama is just so great because there's depth to it, there's layers to it. It has a lot of the tropes that I just love so much. And I do love these school romances and I do love time travel romances. So it was like, you know, it was just everything for me. Great chemistry, good acting, like that was, you know, all of this, but I wasn't expecting there to be all of these layers and these great messages in the drama as well.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound, because I'm realizing I'm making it sound heavy, and it's not heavy.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. There's so many funny moments, so many cute, swoony moments when they're flirting, even before like they get together, but like, Pisang really likes to feed Gui.
I mean, there's just so many laughs and just fun moments and great chemistry. It's yeah, especially the way Chris acts. He's a great comedic actor, and he just makes so many scenes so ridiculous. you can't help but laugh. He's so ridiculous in so many scenes.
I saw somebody online describe him as a chaos gremlin, and I just laughed so hard because that was very accurate. So totally chaos gremlin head. But you know, and at the very, very end of the drama, they have this closing scene. It's so fantastic when they're leaving Pear's wedding and Pisang's like, let's get married. And Gui's like, no, I don't want to get married. You know, but they, like this wedding, there's too many people. We should only have 30 people. And Pisang's like, okay. And he goes, no, we're not getting married though. But like, if we did get married, it wouldn't be on a beach because it'd be too sandy. Let's like have it at a nice hotel. Okay, noted. And he's like, no, we're not getting married. And just the whole dynamic of them, it's so cute. And it just kind of sums up their relationship and why it works and what the dynamic is, you know? And I think that's the other thing is like, you can really, we did this when we talked about F4 Thailand with Pata Tongpan, who is the head of Parbati, the production company that produced this, and of just having a clear vision from beginning to end of the story you're telling and understanding what you're trying to accomplish, and that every element in the story, visually, music, the acting, the script, is working towards that aim of what you're trying to say. And this one is just feels like so, I honestly can't think of anything I would change about it. Like there's literally nothing in there that I looked at and went, oh, this didn't work, or right, I would want this to be different. I would definitely put this up there. Like I have a few like Thai BLs that are just my absolute favorites, like Moonlight Chicken, Tale of Thousand Stars. This is definitely up there.
Yeah.
Right up there with those.
As I started watching, I immediately messaged you. I'm like, I'm so glad that you told me and put this drama on my radar. Because I don't know why. It wasn't the huge overwhelming success that some other dramas have been. And I don't know why, because to me, it's pure magic. So I don't know what it is, but we're doing our small part here to sell this drama. Like, of course, if you've watched till now, you've been spoiled on everything that happens. But okay.
But that's okay. But like, yeah, it is a shame. It makes me sad. I do think it's kind of like catching up though. Like, I don't want to say cult status. I don't think it's quite there. But like, definitely people are going, oh my God, I was sleeping on this. I cannot believe I waited this long to watch it. And I think the quality of it is acknowledged. So I'm hoping that the audience gets bigger. It really, really deserves it. It just, more stuff like this should be made, you know? I mean, yeah. We all love the cute, stupid, childish dramas that are like, turn your brain off. I mean, we all enjoy those. But like, to have something like this where it actually has something meaningful to say, and, you know, where the characters feel like real people that you could actually meet. And, you know, it's very, I love that.
I mean, I also just have to say kudos to the writing team, because definitely there's so many dramas, especially Korean dramas, where they seem to write them as they're filming and airing them. I mean, it felt like somebody behind the scenes here had a vision for this is our arc. And we're going to have these characters are going to have these arcs. I like it was well plotted out, you know, over the course of the drama. And like I said, that the last episode was not filler, right? You know, it just really well constructed, well directed. I'm not going to say, you know, it's of the level of F4 Thailand and us picking apart the symbolism of every costume or anything like that.
No,
you know, it's not of that level. But I'm just saying kudos to the production team for really having this vision of this whole. And I also love the clues for, are we in the future or in the back? Like, it's as simple as, are his sheets this color, or is his bed cover this color, right?
Right, right. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, they really had cute cues to show us, are we in the future or are we in the past? It was like, what? Because he seemed to be in the same apartment, but what was his bedding? How was his hair done? Whatever showed us where we were in the timeline. And I love that. So, you know, cause let's not make it complicated. Let's like make it easy for the viewer to know, where are we? What are we doing?
Okay. Well, yeah. And I think the writer is the director. He's at least one of the writers.
He is one of the writers. Yeah.
So, I'm just like, watch, you know, if you've already been spoiled yourself to death watching this video, but like, yeah, people should be watching it. I mean, it's just like determined to grow the audience for this because it's so wonderful.
Well, we've been on hiatus for some time, but I'm hoping even if we can't, all the original Fab Four of us can't necessarily be on for each discussion of a drama. We're hoping to revive our podcast and do more content and whatever permutation is of a few of us together as we watch something. So do look for some upcoming episodes, and we hope you've enjoyed this one with our discussion of Be My Favorite, one of my favorites.
Yes.